Turn your Bibles to Joel chapter 1, the book of the prophet Joel chapter 1. We noted last Sunday evening concerning the subject of Joel's prophecy, that of the day of the Lord, very much like the prophet Zephaniah, and of course it's touched on by other prophets as well, but we find here in chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel: "Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree, he hath made it clean bare, and cast it away, the branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because the joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests, howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness." Now the subject or the thought does not cease here at the end of this chapter, but we'll stop reading there for now. We find here, again, the subject of the day of the Lord. Now, we see from the words of the prophet that there would be no one and nothing unaffected by the destruction from the Almighty in the day of Jehovah. You know, the question is always put forth when this Bible subject is taught or preached upon: when shall these things be? That was the question that the disciples asked the Lord. It's still the question that occupies people's minds. You know, they say, well, when are these things going to be? Well, God's Word has this answer that it is near at hand. It is right around the corner, so to speak. Now somebody says, well, that's been the case for some time. Well, it is the case. And you see that if the present generation does not repent of its evil, then perhaps it'll be sooner than we realize. God warns of judgment, and and it will come, but he warns to induce people to repent. The long-suffering of God is salvation, the Bible says, and it affords salvation to man, apart from which none would ever be saved. And so, the long-suffering of God waits, and God is very patient. And while he calls sinners unto repentance. Now, the prophet here in this first chapter, he names various classes of people or groups of people and different ones. And they are called upon to mourn and lament because of the impending judgment. And so different ones are called upon. Again, the idea is there wouldn't be any one that was left out. But at the same time, certain ones are called out, and how it's going to affect them and how they ought to react. Now, the first group of people that the prophet mentions who are called upon to mourn because of the impending judgment is the drunkards. He said in verse 5, "Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth." And of course, he had mentioned in these verses about how the vines were destroyed, and the vineyards, and all the different types of agriculture were affected. But he mentions these, and he says, "Awake to them, and weep and howl." You see, what they loved was going to be taken away from them. Now it seems that this class of people, the drunkards, have existed in every age and generation. We read of them throughout the Old Testament. We read of them in the New Testament. And we know that we have them, and they predominate in the hour in which you and I now live. Why, it seems like, whether it's the grocery store or the convenience store or whatever kind of place that sells food and beverages, that it seems like the part of it that sells the alcoholic beverages just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you see, that's the generation in which we live, and it seems that they predominate. Rich and poor, doesn't make any difference. There's drunkards on both sides, young and old, men and women alike, all slaves to the bottle and the drink. These shall mourn the loss of their beloved drink. And so you see that the prophet, he warns them, and he says, he mentions them. Now the drunkard in the scriptures, it's not only the literal drunkard, but it's the one, because what does the drink cause them to do? Well, it causes them to be drowsy. Causes them to be unaware and slow of mind. And the Bible stands that against sober-mindedness or serious-mindedness. You know, you can hardly get anybody to take the Bible seriously. Why? People can't hardly take anything seriously anymore. And that's what they do. And then, you know, if life gets a little too serious, well, then they just drink more, you see. And they say that's been one of the things that's happened during this recent pandemic, is the amount of alcoholic beverage and intoxication consumption has increased greatly. Well, you see, people don't want to deal with reality, do they? And you see, they are going to lose their beloved drink. Well, then we find the prophet makes the statement, you know, and he says in verse 8, "Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth." Now this is a general mourning and lamentation that ought to be made by all people. And he said it's like when a young virgin bride, who here she is, either on the eve or right following her wedding, she becomes a widow. And that would be a very sorrowful thing, would it not? Why, she has to exchange her wedding dress for sackcloth, because she must mourn the husband of her youth. And so you see, well, you know, well, how many weddings had to be postponed or canceled in the last year and a half? Why? And I want to ask this question. How many weddings will have to be canceled when the sweeping judgment of God comes? Look in the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. Why? Jesus said that marrying and giving in marriage, that'll be going on right up until the time when the judgment of the Lord comes. In fact, it seems like, why, that's one of the bigger things that's going on in the world. Why, people get married and sometimes you wonder why. They don't even have any business getting married. They wouldn't know how to be a husband or a wife if somebody explained it to them. And they're not really interested in that, at least as far as God says is concerned. They're just going about pleasing themselves. And it's big business. But and a lot of money gets made, you know, selling out wedding venues and so forth. But notice here in Luke 17 and verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. You see what the Lord says there? You see, people want to eat and drink, and they want to marry and give in marriage, and yet they have not made sure that they have eaten the bread of life and drank the water of life. They're not ready to have on a wedding garment and be summoned to the marriage supper of the Lamb and His wife. And so what the Bible's saying is, they're just going to continue on, like as if the judgment of God is never going to come. And they're just pleasing in themselves and living for all the things of this life. Well, it's going to be brought to a halt all of a sudden. Now the priests and ministers of the house of God are mentioned. And he says to them in verse 9, the meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. And so you see, even the religious class and those that were supposed to be the spiritual leaders, they also will mourn. There were no offerings for the house of God. Why? He says there's no meat offering or drink offering. Well, they couldn't have any because there wasn't anything left to offer. They didn't have the drink offering. The wine was gone. They didn't have the meal offering or the meat offering because the crops were all destroyed. And so, you see, religion will be affected when the judgment of the Lord comes. We know there in the book of Revelation that the great horror mystery Babylon is going to be destroyed. And you see, that's going to be the downfall of this world's false religious system. Now, we find another class that is mentioned in verse 11. He said, be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Now the farmers and the growers, and they're ashamed. All their labors and expenditures and efforts were for nothing, in vain, and disappointed. You see, the efforts of man to plant, to build, are futile when God determines to uproot and to tear down. But you see here these. He said they're going to be ashamed and they'll howl because of the destruction of all that in which they labored. Now look in Jeremiah chapter 45. Jeremiah chapter 45. And I'll read these five verses here in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. It's always struck me what God said to this man here in Jeremiah. And verse 1, the word of Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Now you see Baruch, he was Jeremiah's helper. And Jeremiah would prophesy, and Baruch, he would write it down. And here he had written these words. Well, they were words of judgment. And it said, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. And so you see here Baruch, he was the first one to hear the things that Jeremiah prophesied. He wrote them down. And now he's not feeling too well. And the Lord knew what the thoughts of his heart were. Well, Baruch, you know, what was his thoughts? Well, he was kind of like a lot of us. First person he thought about was himself. He said, woe is me. You know, that's how many are. We get that way. First person we always think about is ourselves. And you know, we get too concerned about, well, I'm not going to be able to have what I want. I'm not going to get my own way. Or what I had wanted and planned for. Well, what did God say to Baruch? Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted will I pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. You see, Baruch, he had some desires, didn't he, and some thoughts. He thought, well, I'm going to have this and have that, and I'm going to save for this retirement, and I'm going to do this and that and the other sort of a thing. Well, the Lord said, you're not going to do any such thing because I'm about to tear everything down and root everything up. There ain't going to be anything, Baruch. He said, the only thing you're going to have is your life. Well, you know what people miss out on is if they have all this other stuff and they lose their life. And isn't that what Jesus said? You try to save your life, you're going to lose it. And so, will you seek to save your life or will you lose it? Will you give it over that you might be saved in the time to come? And so you see, he told Baruch, he said, I'll give you your life. Well, that's something when everybody else is going to lose theirs. And so we find that here, lurk, if you will. See, the prophet Joel had said, the joy is withered away from the sons of men. Well, let's turn to Psalm number 4. What was their joy in? Well, all the things that were going to be destroyed. The wine, the new wine, the grapes, the vines, the wheat, the barley, all the different produce and crops, and all the profits that they would make, and being able, you know, kind of like that rich man who had to, he thought he what he ought to do, you know, when his harvest came forth so plentifully and he didn't have no place to put it, he thought, well, I'll have to tear down my barns that aren't big enough and build bigger ones. And then I'll be all set for the rest of my life. He didn't know his life was going to end that night. But notice here in Psalm number 4 and verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Now you see, that's the time of joy for most people, when worldly things increase. You see, that's what he said. the time that their corn and their wine increased. He called it theirs. He didn't look on it as his own. The psalmist, he said, why, you've put more joy and gladness in my heart than what they have in those things. Now you see, the world looks continually to the increase of temporal things, profits, pleasures, and pursuits. It's like what Paul said to the Philippians when he warned them about some. He said, their God is their belly. They mind earthly things. That's what they care about. That's what they're concerned in and what they're after. They love this present world. Well, what's going to happen with this present world? Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, the Bible says that we ought to want to be accounted worthy to inherit the world to come. But notice here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You can underline that, will come. You see, many say, well, it hasn't come. Well, it will. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto or desiring the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And so you see, that's your responsibility. You need to be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, we find that these all that were mentioned there by Joel, how that they were going to be sorrowful and they were going to lose all of these things that they delighted in. All people delight in so many things, and yet they do not delight in the Lord. People delight in the pleasures of this life. They delight in the prosperity of life. They delight even in religion. Well, you need to delight in the Lord. Now, what is the need of the hour? Notice what was said there in verse 14. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. You see, that was the need of the hour, to cry unto the Lord. You know, it is what all ought to do. He said all the inhabitants of the land and the spiritual leaders should have called the people to the house of God to do so. That's what he said. He said call a solemn assembly. They needed to cry unto the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved? Now, that is what all ought to do. And what they needed to do, it is what the prophet himself said he would do. Verse 19, he said, O Lord, to thee will I cry. You know, push comes to shove, as the saying is, what are you going to do? You know, that's what it boils down to. What will you do? What will I do? When the time comes, when the day of judgment arrives, well, then it's too late. You see, they needed, knowing this was at hand, knowing it was right around the corner, and it was such as there had never been the like. You know, what's he saying in the first verse of the next chapter. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Right? He says, why, it's just around the corner. God's word forewarns all people. Look in Mark chapter 13. The time for prayer and repentance, for mourning over sin, and for calling upon God is now. Mark chapter 13. You know what happens? Is people, they get lulled into a stupor, into a slumber. And there's various reasons. Doesn't really matter what the reason is. It's still wrong. It can be the circumstances of life. It can be opposition and difficulty that's been faced. It can be, you know, discouragements. It can be all manner of things. It can be laziness. It can be from all manner of reasons, but there's not a good one. But notice here in Mark 13 and verse 30. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. All you know is that it's going to come. He said you're to take heed and watch and pray. You know what's happened? Is people think, well, we can go and enjoy ourselves and let down our guard and our spiritual zeal and earnestness. We can start enjoying all the things of this life. He said, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants to do every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore. For ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. And so you see, that's the command of the Lord. People are always trying to say things like, well, I thought this and this and this were supposed to happen. Well, maybe they are. But Jesus still told you to watch and pray and take heed, didn't he? Lest you be deceived. You see, here there was a need to cry unto the Lord. Now you know what happens? What happened with the people in the Old Testament? As things like this began to come upon them, judgment from the Lord. Well, did they cry to the Lord? No. And they hadn't been crying to him for a long time, had they? Is what they should have done. But they hadn't been, and they didn't. They looked everywhere else but to the Lord. They looked to themselves. They looked to their neighbors. They looked to the other others around them. And they never did look to the Lord. Look, if you will, in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And notice, in verse 37, he said, if there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, what shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men." And so you see, that's what they needed to do. They needed to cry unto the Lord. They needed to go to the house of the Lord and cry unto him before the day of the Lord came. The time for prayer and repentance, for mourning over sin, for calling on God is now. Like the prophet said, "O Lord, to thee will I cry." Oh, look at all these things that he mentioned. He said, "The fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, the flame hath burned up all the trees of the field, the beasts of the field cry also unto thee. For the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness." He said, "Why, even the beasts of the field are crying unto the Lord." Sometimes beasts have more sense than people. But you see, all this was coming to pass. If these things were spiritually emblematic, he says the rivers are dried up, the pastures of the wilderness are burned up, the fruit-bearing trees were burned up. There's nothing for the flocks of sheep and the cattle to eat. It's that way spiritually sometimes too, isn't it? Do people cry unto the Lord then? When there's no living water flowing, when the Word of God is not able to be found, like as when God said in the book of Amos, you know, he said he'd send a famine, not of bread and of water, but of the hearing of the word of the Lord. Paul warned Timothy, said there'd come a time when they won't endure sound doctrine. They won't want to hear it. And so we find here, as Joel he prophesies of the day of the Lord, Jesus said to all to watch. Remember, disciples even asked him, they said, "Lord, are you saying this to us or to everybody?" He said, "What I say to you, I say to all." You say, "Oh, I thought, the rapture was going to take place before, this and that and the other." Well, you still need to watch. Are you going to be in the rapture? The Bible says, make your calling and election sure. I think it's going to be so, people are going to be so blind, so dull, so deaf, so unattentive, so distracted, so taken up with all these other things. Jesus said, "Why, it'll be just like the flood." Here the flood's coming. What are they doing? Here Noah's building an ark for 125 years. And what's taking place? Well, everybody's just carrying on. Eating, drinking, building, planning, marrying, giving in marriage. What are most churches doing? Seems like many are just going through the motions. So, may we take heed unto ourselves, unto the word of the Lord, warn others. The Bible says, "He'll come as a thief in the night, unexpected, unlooked for. Many will be unprepared." So, may God bless you.